Revitalization or Reformation? All right. Sunday morning, 10/16/22, Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is A New Focus. This one kind of, it surprised me, but it really kind of released me when it came forth, and I believe it will do the same for you. The Lord said to me a few days ago that the window of opportunity is about to close. Now, we already know this as far as on the national scene and the international scene with what I talked to you about, the intel I had about the Australian national leader getting up and saying to the deep state elite in his country that if they did not, you know, he was calling them to come to the right side of things. They had until the end of October. By the end of October, there will be no amnesty. President Trump did that at one of the rallies earlier this month or the end of September, I don't know which it was, 2 or 3 weeks ago, with the blacked out stars on the flag. It was saying, you have by the end of this rally or there'll be no quarter. So that's basically the window of opportunity is about to close. Those that will not come into the light will be overtaken by the darkness. Now I'm going to read a couple words. One's Tommy Hicks's, and the other one is the one I read last week. Tommy Hicks. All right. My message begins July 25th, about 2:30 in the morning at Winnipeg, Canada. I'd hardly fallen asleep when the vision and the revelation that God gave to me came before me. The vision came 3 times exactly in detail the morning of July 25th, 1961. I was so stirred and so moved by the revelation that this has changed my complete outlook upon the body of Christ and upon the last end time ministry. The greatest thing that the Church of Jesus Christ that has ever been given to the church lies straight ahead. It is so hard to help men and women to realize and understand the thing that God is trying to give to His people in the end time. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the rapture thing, but it doesn't make any difference. This is what it is. As the vision appeared to me after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself at a great high distance where I was, I do not know. But as I was looking down upon the earth, suddenly the whole earth came into view. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue came before my sight. From the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and I recognized every country and many cities I had been in. I was almost in fear and trembling as I beheld the sight before me. At that moment, as the earth came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. I don't know if you've seen that where it says that thunder doesn't come from the sky, it comes from the inside the earth. Or not thunder, lightning. Yeah. As the lightning flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downwards. I was facing the north. Suddenly I beheld what looked like a giant. As I stared and looked at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great in stature. His feet seemed to reach to the north pole and his head to the south. Its arms were stretched from sea to sea. I could not even begin to understand whether this was a mountain or whether this be a giant. But as I watched it, I suddenly beheld this great giant. I could see it was struggling for life to even live. But his body was covered with debris from head to foot, and at times this great giant would move its body and act as though it would have even risen up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away. Hideous-looking creatures would run away from this giant, and when he would become calm, they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hand toward the heavens, and then it lifted its other hand, and when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and to go into the darkness and into the night. Slowly this giant, great giant began to rise. Well, that's the people rising up today. It's not the rapture. So let's just qualify that. Slowly this great giant began to rise, and as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds. As he rose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and filth that was upon him. He began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord, and as he raised his hands, it was even unto the clouds. Suddenly, every cloud became silver, the most beautiful silver that I'd ever known. Odd, silver. As I watched this phenomenon, it was so great, I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so stirred as I watched, and watched it and cried unto the Lord, and I said, oh Lord, what is the meaning of this? And it felt as if I were actually in the Spirit, and I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I was asleep. And from the cloud, suddenly there came great drops of liquid light raining down upon the mighty giant, and slowly, slowly the giant began to melt, began to sink, as it were, into the very earth itself. And as he melted, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth. And this great rain began to come down. Liquid drops of light, as it were, began to flood the very earth itself. And as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth. As I beheld the sight before me, people stood up all over the world. They were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. At that very moment, there came a great thunder that seemed to roar from the heavens. I turned my eyes toward the heavens and suddenly I saw a figure in white, glistening white, the most glorious thing I'd ever seen in all my life. I did not see the face, but somehow knew that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he stretched forth his hand, as he did, he would stretch forth his hand upon the peoples and the nations of the world, men and women. As he pointed towards them, this liquid light seemed to flow from his hand into this person. A mighty anointing of God came upon them, and these people began to go forth in the name of the Lord. I do not know how long I watched. It seemed it went into days and weeks and months, and I beheld Christ as he continued to stretch forth his hand, but there was a tragedy. There were many people as he stretched forth his hand that refused the anointing of God and the call of God. I saw men and women that I knew, people that I felt that certainly they would receive the call of God, but as he stretched forth his hand toward this one and toward that one, they simply bowed their head and began to back away. To each of those who seemed to bow down and back away, they seemed to go into darkness. Blackness seemed to swallow them everywhere. I wondered as I watched it, but these people that he had anointed, hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, Africa, Asia, Russia, China, America, all over the world, the anointing of God was upon these people as they went forth in the name of the Lord. I saw these men and women as they went forth. They were ditch diggers. They were washerwomen. They were rich men. They were poor men. I saw people who were bound with paralysis and sickness, blindness and deafness. As the Lord stretched forth his hand to give them the anointing, they became well, they became healed, and they went forth. Sound like the millennial reign, doesn't it? And this is the miracle of it. This is the glorious miracle of it. Those people would stretch forth their hands exactly as the Lord did, and it seemed that there was this same liquid fire that seemed to be in their hand. As they stretched forth their hand, they said, according to my word, be thou made whole. I'm going to stop right there with that. It reminds me also of Charles Capps when he talked about the great darkness towards the triangle of the end. The same thing. All right. All right, the Lord said to me a few days ago, all right, wait a minute. I'm going to read this. Last week I read to you Blind Guides. Need a drink. All right, the Lord said, through your training process, you've been in your time of being called aside, called aside to know who you are and to know what I have called you to do. You're coming to the close of it. You will be branching out. Do not be afraid, for I will lead you every step of the way. Branching out, now that I have your branches straight and going in the right direction, you're no longer bent in all directions. Your thinking processes that aided and abetted the enemy has been a painful process, but necessary. Many never pull aside and allow me to work these things out of them. The process is too painful, they say, too long, they say. Sadly, they end up not being in place to fulfill my full plan for them because they did not endure the process. I will be removing the ropes and the stakes that have held you in check these many years, and now you will be free to follow me to do what I called you to do from your mother's womb. No more restraints, no more holding back, no more hidden in secret, no more kicked to the curb, unrecognized and unknown. They will say they just came on the scene overnight. It will appear that way, but only you and I will know the truth. Yes, it has been a long, hard night. It has been a long haul, but it has all been to complete your training. Training for reigning. Just as I came out of the wilderness full of God's power, it will be the same for you. I'm with you, and I will continue to take you by the hand and will continue to lead you and guide you. Before you could be here, this new beginning, I had to have you awake. Awake to the truth. Awake to what is really going on in the nation and the world. How can a blind man lead a blind man? Both will fall into a pit. So many Christians do not want to get caught up in politics. This is not politics. It's biblical. This is a great awakening. So many in my body today are blind men leading blind men, or both are falling into the ditch. I have not wasted one Sunday or Wednesday in your waking up process. This is not by the whim of a man, but by my divinely designed plan. The enemy has sown tares among the wheat. What are those tares? Wrong thinking that blinds the minds of men from embracing the gospel of the kingdom. Satan has done this. Total infestation and infiltration. The day of exposure has come, when all that has been hidden in secret will be shouted from the housetops. All their treasonous plots are about to be exposed. Many will be devastated by this. I will have you take them by the hand, just as I've taken you by the hand. You will be that light that you can look to, that they can look to and find their way. Gross darkness is coming in this information war. Information coming out of what they have done for thousands of years, just like the Israelites were in Goshen when the darkness descended on Egypt. It will be the same here. I'm not talking physical light, but mental clarity. The blinders will be removed. The Red Sea moment is coming. Israel is in darkness. Their eyes have been blinded. This blindness is also on my church. The Rothschild operation is deep state. It is not my operation, but a counterfeit. Here is my true Israel, my operation. I will bring my nation, my church, my people from all over the world, and they will be sealed with my name. And as I've said to you before, that I will move in my time, not Satan's. This is the blindness that is on the eyes of the so-called Jewish nation. The time of the Omer is here. The bundling of wheat into my barns to be preserved, and the tares to be gathered into bundles and burned. Okay.
Is that all?
No. I just got started. All right, concerning family, I'm establishing for you a new family. I spoke that to you earlier this week. These will not be flesh and blood, but spiritual. We're going to read a couple of passages in this one. Luke 8. This is 8:19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by a certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these who hear the word of God and do it. All right, Luke 11. I'd never seen this scripture before. I mean, I just come across that one. I thought, wow, I just never caught that. This is 11:27. But Jesus is talking about an unclean spirit going out of a man. Anyway, this verse 27, it says, And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. See, the woman was glorifying his mother to give credit for what he was. He said, uh-uh. It's those who hear the word of God and do it. He placed spiritual family as priority over natural family. I asked the Lord if we were to discontinue speaking the petitions over our natural family. We've been speaking them for over seven years. I didn't get a no, but I did get a new focus. Only God knows what our family members will do. We cannot by petition make them do right. Their own will is involved. See, God can't even make them do right. But I believe that the Lord would have us cast our care concerning them and go forward, and He will establish new family. Even God can't make our family do right, so who are we to think that we can? So with this branching out process, you will have a new focus. Jesus had a mother, brothers, and sisters, but there are only a couple places in the Bible that they are even mentioned. We know that Mary was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. She was at the foot of Jesus' cross. Jesus' brothers, for the most part, just mocked him. All right, this is, I want to read this one. This is John chapter 7. You can take this as you will, pray about it, whatever. All right, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. There is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. I remember someone telling me that in our family one time, and it's not you. Well, you need to get on this, you need to do this, you know, you need to make yourself known. I even had an ex-preacher say, well, you need, you know, do what I do. I go and put all these letters out and send them to all these pastors and do all this stuff to try to make yourself known. God didn't tell me to do any of that, and I didn't do any of that. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is already ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into this feast. I go not up yet into this feast, for my time is not yet full come. See, pulling on you to do stuff ye don't need to be doing. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, they went up. Then went he up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Sound like to me he didn't want to be around them. Well, our family's coming to the light. By that I mean is God's perfect will for them. Only God knows. We must cast our care and leave them to the Lord. God does not want us looking back. He who puts his hand to the plow, Luke 9:62, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Family can be a snare because it plays on your emotions. We must focus ourselves on this new mission. Okay. That's it.